You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning. Turn your Bibles with me for about to Matthew chapter 13. We are on the third installment of our series called Here and Now. We've been looking into different kingdom stories, parables about the kingdom. This is in line with our celebration of 35 years of thanking God for His faithfulness in this movement, in our ministry. Matthew chapter 13, we're reading from the ESV. These are just three verses. This is called the parable of the treasure and the hidden pearl. In verses 44 to 46 of chapter 13, it says here, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it." We're looking at just three verses here today, and of course, we cannot do an exposition of these verses simply because these are parables. Pag sinabi po natin parables, these are actually extended metaphors. Every time you open your Bible, you read certain parables. There are different parables in the Bible, and these were shared by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Parables, as we know, are not narratives in a sense that what Jesus would do was, if you understand kids' church, it's basically an object lesson, meaning to say Jesus would look at a certain object that is relevant to everyone, that is seen by everyone, and then he would start talking about this object. For example, he would start talking about this TV right here. This TV has a story, and this is the story of the TV. And along the course of him sharing the story, you get to understand he's actually just using the TV to talk about my life. Jesus would drive a point using certain objects that are present around them. It is an extended metaphor. In fact, the word parable simply means to put alongside. He would use certain stories and objects to basically drive a point. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, the verses that we have here today, these three verses, let me just start with the first one. In verse 44, it says here, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." Here's basically what Jesus was trying to say. I don't want us to think that the kingdom of heaven here is the treasure or the kingdom of heaven here is like the pearl. The entire story found in 44 to 46 is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Catch it? That is very important. So don't think that the treasure here or the pearl or the kingdom of God. The entire story, the entire parable that Jesus was sharing was what the kingdom of heaven is like. He was likening the kingdom to this story. Let's go to the first story because there are two actually. He started talking about the treasure. And then afterwards, he starts talking about the pearl. Let's start with the first story. And let's try to understand what Jesus was trying to make his disciples understand. It says here, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Let's try to understand this for a while, at least in their context, as to why he came up with such a story. During their time, it's a common practice for people, especially for men, to bury their valuables. So whatever valuable that you have in your life right now, it's a common practice for them, for you if you're living in that time, to bury it underground, simply because they don't have an efficient banking system. So whether that's gold or silver, whatever is valuable to you, your wife perhaps, so if you want to keep them because you truly love them, you bury them underground. Some husbands are agreeing. So that's what you do. Because they don't have an efficient banking system, whether that's family heirloom, silver or gold, the practice is to bury them. The problem here is, because of the frequency of war, to a certain extent, life is volatile. The problem there is, if a war erupts, then you are in trouble. And if a man gets killed in a war, or if a man gets murdered, the problem there is, his secret is buried with him. So meaning to say, this is not just a random story that Jesus is sharing. This is something that's happening during their time. They would always bury something that is valuable to them. Now, the man in this story, as we understand, the man in this story simply stumbles upon this treasure. He stumbles upon this treasure. A treasure that was hidden in a field. So let's say this is the man right here. We simply do not know what the entirety of this story is. We may not really know how he found it, but we are certain that he was not on the quest for it. He wasn't looking for it. Are folks catching this? He wasn't looking for it. It was just perhaps he was just serving the parameter, or rather the perimeter of the property, or perhaps he was just strolling. And then he stumbled upon this treasure hidden underground. Perhaps 15 minutes into this event, he was disinterested. It was just an ordinary day. Upon finding a treasure, everything has changed. And then in verse 44, how important is this treasure? How valuable is this treasure? It tells us in verse 44, it says here, then in his joy, it says here, he goes and sells all that he has. He sells all that he has and buys that field. This random guy, perhaps not a man of means, makes a bold move of selling everything that he has to purchase the land where the treasure was nestled. So this is just a wonderful story, and this is not for kids' church. Just imagine this with me for a while. He found his treasure and then covered it up. And then he went home, he did something, he liquidated everything. Brought out his phones, all his bags, everything that he has, his books, his collection since he was a kid. And these are valuable things. What this man did was that he started looking at everything that he has at home. He liquidated everything, started writing everything down, and began what? Began selling them. Have you ever scraped buko? Diba? When you scrape buko, hindi kayo papayag na ultimo yung pinaka-konti na lang talagang kukunin mo. In short, for the sake of gaining the treasure, this man impoverished himself. This man allowed himself to be a beggar. He allowed himself to be a beggar. He impoverished himself. Why? Why did this man impoverish himself? Because there was more in the field than what he would be losing. There was more in the field than what he would be losing. So what we see here is that there is an extreme trade-off. Verse 45, second story. Here's the second story. Second story says, look at this one. Second story says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. He says, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now this is crazy. The first story talks about an ordinary man who simply found the treasure. Is it right? He simply stumbled upon the treasure. This man right here talks about a merchant. A merchant, a pearl trader who makes a living trading pearls. So meaning to say, this man right here is not an ordinary guy. Perhaps this man is a businessman. People during their time, pearls are such a treasure during their time that people would go to as far as India just to get these fine pearls. So this man understands his trade. The first one, we could probably have a poor man. Here we have a rich businessman who was on the quest. The first one stumbled upon accidentally. This one was looking for a treasure intentionally, strategically. He was a merchant of pearl who understands the trade. Meaning to say, this man was a man on a quest. So it gives us a picture that the other one was not a seeker. This one was a seeker. Now, here's what we have. Pearls are pegged at a value at that time higher than gold. It was said that even Cleopatra had 1.8 billion worth of pearls. To find and trade fine pearls is a lucrative business. Fine pearls were not easy to find. Sometimes merchants would go to different continents just to find that. Now here's what happened in verse 44. The Bible says, who on finding one pearl of great value. What do we have here? Anyone here wearing a pearl earring? We have collections of pearls. Now look at this one. He saw a pearl that beats all other pearls. He saw a fine pearl that beat all other pearls out there that he's ever encountered. Because the Bible says this is just one pearl. And here's what happens. It says here, he went and sold all that he had and bought the pearl. He sold everything that he has and buys this one single pearl. Why? Same question, why? Because what he is getting is more than what he is giving up. Let's try to understand these parables. There's one word to describe these two guys right here. And these guys are illumined. When I say illumined, illumination does not happen to everyone. Illumination is making, this is not a theological definition, by the way. Illumination simply means you are making the right decision coming from a big consideration. Catch it? So meaning to say, you have assessed the situation. This is not some thoughtless act. You have studied it. You have weighed things out. And then finally, after looking and comparing, after weighing all options, you came up with the right decision. These two guys right here are illumined guys. They have been illumined. Now, would you allow me to just go straight to my point here today? Para hindi na tayo magtagal. So pedal to the metal to. This is not one of those preaching that would make you feel comfortable. These three verses, I hope and pray, will change the course of your life. Let's do pedal to the metal here today. Wala nang paligoy-ligo. It says here, look at this one, Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. Here are two phrases that I want us to understand. In verse 44, it says here, the first man sells all that he has. The second man, the merchant says, it says here, he sold all that he had. The word all here is the word pass, which simply means thoroughly whatsoever. Thoroughly whatsoever. Everything that they have, everything that was valuable to them, they stripped themselves of it for the sake of the treasure. For the sake of the treasure. That is what we have here. Now, if you're here today, you've been attending for Victory for quite some time now, you call yourself a Christian, if you want the kingdom so bad, guess what? There is no minimizing the cost. There is no minimizing the cost. Because discipleship, following Christ, friends, is costly. It is costly. This is at least how we understand this. If you ask me here right now, what is the cost? Guess what, friends? Basing on those verses, everything. What is the cost? Everything. Paul understands this too well. How I hope I can make Christianity so appealing to unbelievers. I can make Christianity so appealing to you by telling you to minimize the cost. But I can't. Because if I say that, then that is not Christianity. That is not following Christ. It is not like us offering our house to God and tell God, Lord, can you repaint this part of my life? Can you repaint this part of my house? Lord, can you renovate? God is not in the business of renovating our hearts. He would put everything down for Him to build something up. That is what Christianity is. That is what this story is basically teaching every single one of us. Let me just put it this way. Who am I here can honestly say that you are a sinner? I'll be the first to raise my hand. We are all sinners here, and sinners should be in church. Is that right? It's true that I would tell every single one of you here today that when you come to church, come as you are. It's totally fine. But you don't remain as you are. Is it the same idolatry from 5 years ago? Is it the same issues from 3 years ago? Let me diagnose it for you. There's no lordship over your life. If you're a gossiper 8 years ago and you're still a gossiper now, if you're still a slave to lust, now, the same thing when you were neck deep in that field 5 years ago, would you allow me to tell you that there is something wrong? That is why my prayer here is for us to embrace the word radical. Because I feel like that is what Christianity is. You see, the kingdom of God has its conditions and demands. Totoo po yun. The kingdom of God has its condition and demands. It's not God. Look at this. It's not God coming or stepping into your kingdom. No, it's us stepping into the kingdom of God. It's His terms. It's His conditions. And it's not the other way around. It's us coming to God. At the end of the day, hindi ang Panginoon ang yuyuko at luluhod. Tayo. Hindi si Lord ang mag-give up. He's already given up His Son. There is a cost to discipleship, and there is no minimizing the cost, friends. There is no minimizing the cost. There is no halfway to get it. There is no trying it. Let me just try this out. It's not one foot forward and leave one behind, and better yet, not step forward. All because they want to get hold of one thing, which is the supreme value, which is the kingdom. For them, they saw a treasure. This man saw a treasure. The other one saw a fine pearl of great value. No wonder Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, but whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. No wonder the first man impoverished himself. He was willing to liquidate everything, throw everything away for the sake of gaining one final treasure of supreme value. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage in order that I may gain Christ. What powerful verses. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. The detail says that He bought the field does not mean that the kingdom is for sale. You don't get the kingdom because of an offering. You don't get the kingdom because of charity. That's an offshoot, a manifestation of the kingdom. I have to say that because our culture in the Philippines is deeply religious. I think Marfor and her friends here would attest to that. Meron pong pinanggagalingan yung hugot ko. I started making an assessment among several of our leaders here, started talking to them about their foundations, and I found out that many of us here, I think not just in this church, but many Christians in the Philippines, would still attribute salvation to works. It's never about works. It's always by the grace of God received by faith. Because our willingness to sell everything is the way to receive and not to earn the kingdom. When you sell everything away, that's the manner to receive, not to earn. It's like a light switch. The light switch in itself doesn't have power. It is just a channel for the power to come in. So my question here for all of us here, if you want to experience the resurrection power of God, are you willing to make sacrifices? Are you willing to cut off that which does not honor God? Are you willing to live a radical life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, buhay natin hanggang 85 lang. When would you make your life count for the Lord? On the last 3 years of your life? Don't you think giving 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of your life is all worth it? It's going to be a decision that you'll make if you understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. In a sense, this man impoverished himself. However accidental or intentional the search is, there is but one response. Sold all that he had. By the way, this is a parable. This is not a business principle. I'm not saying that you go home later and sell your kalan, your car. That's not my point. Here's basically my point, 9 a.m. service. When I say sell all that you have, are you willing to remove that which hinders you from fully worshiping God? That is what we mean. Because a lot of times there are things in our lives that has become an idol and we just cannot fully worship God because of these things coming in the way. Tapos gusto nating mag-grow kay Lord, gusto nating mag-worship, ang dami nating prayer, pero paano to? May prayer, pero kailangan may sacrifice. I was talking with someone the other day and we were talking about his struggles in life, his challenges in life, and all of us, we share the same struggles and challenges. Pareho lang naman yun. Pare-pareho tayo ng mga challenges and struggles. It's common for us to experience these things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is evident in every human being. I was telling this guy, all right, here's what's happening to you. I think you know what you need to do. If you want to live a life that is a pleasure to the Lord, if you're willing to live a life that glorifies God, that honors God, are you willing to pull your pants up? Kasi pag hindi, Brad, sayang yung kape natin. Kahit na makaanim pa tayo na Tom and Tom's, Bose Coffee, Abyss, even if 10 months natin pag-usapan to, pag walang lordship ni Jesus sa buhay mo, walang mangyayari, friends. Sometimes we come to God out of a need. I think that's true to many of us. I don't know how you responded yes to an invitation to come to church. Perhaps for some of you here, you came here because of a need. You were praying for healing. Those things are true. The moment you come to church, you hear the preaching of the word, someone did one-to-one to you, it's great. But I want you to understand, every time I read the Bible, I realize one thing. I realize that every time I read the gospel, I realize that I am not just a sufferer. I am a sinner to the core. What is your motivation for coming to church? What is your motivation for coming to church? What is your motivation for following Christ? Are you here for an inspiration? Are we here for an encouragement? Are we here for your board exam? Are you here for healing? Are you here for promotion? Are you here for a good life? Those things are all good. But at the end of the day, we have to understand Christianity requires full surrender. It requires full surrender. This isn't just about blessing and prosperity and favor. Those things are attached, but it's not about that. The kingdom of God is not all about its perks. Christianity is traversing from self-sovereignty to the sovereignty of God in our lives. I hope I get to say this with love and you will not be deceived by these eyebrows of mine. But if there are areas in your life that are not submitted to God, perhaps, just perhaps, you are not in the kingdom. You know why? Because you are still your own king. And at that, you are king nothing. There's nothing much you can do for yourself. You have to surrender it to the Lord. You have to sacrifice and surrender to the Lord. It's evident sometimes in our Bible. It's evident sometimes in our Bible reading. I know of Christians who would support and hold worldviews that are contrary to God's word. What happens there is they choose what to accept and choose what not to accept. They choose what is palatable and which one is not palatable. What that simply means is that you are your own ruling authority. That is not Christianity. That is not God's word. Sometimes we think of Christianity as a degree, like a taekwondo. You go from green belt to blue belt to black belt. I don't know the belts, of course. Obviously, hindi ako nagta-taekwondo. Uy, nag-church na siya. O, black belt na yan. Alam niyo po kung anong sukatan ng Christianity? Ang sukatan po ng Christianity, lordship. Let me say that again. Ang sukatan ng Christianity, lordship. Ang sukatan ng lordship, sacrifice. Pag walang kurot, friends, hindi sacrifice yan. Extra mo lang yan. If there are transactions that do not honor God, you know what the Holy Spirit is telling you. If there are relationships that do not honor God, you know what the Holy Spirit is telling you. If there are things in our lives that do not honor God, friends, listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit and start acting on it. Alam niyo po, pag may birth, may struggle. Tama po ba, all the moms in this room? Pag merong birth, merong struggle. In the same way, our new birth, us being birthed again, may struggle rin yan. It also has a struggle because you have to give up something along the way. He demands far more from you but gives you far more than what you can think of. God is not a slave driver. Let me just go to verse 44. It says here, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Here's the important part of these verses. It says here, then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Just to correct perhaps our wrong thinking right now, they did not sacrifice and after which had joy. No, it says in joy, they sacrificed. It was not like, it's going to be worth it, then I'm going to have joy here. No, the reason why he has given this up is because of the joy in his life. Their motivation for selling everything is the joy of beholding the kingdom. Lord, nothing compares to your presence. Nothing compares to you. Everything else is less valuable because of the exceeding preciousness of Christ and his kingdom. A few more questions as we end. Is there joy in your Christianity? Is there joy in our sacrifices in the kingdom? Because of this joy, you are able to, quote-unquote, sell everything. At the end of the day, we understand that this is not about a duty-driven or duty life of obedience, but a life of joyful submission to the rule and reign of Christ. If perhaps now, in our lifetime right now, wala pang joy, you feel like there's no joy yet, because we understand we get to be glorified with Christ in the end. What do we do now? We count Christ as our treasure. Going back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, and let me end with this. Whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What a trade-off. What a trade-off, friends. What if I come to you and tell you, bro, are you willing to buy this ball pen? Of course, your first question is, how much? And I tell you, it has a gold tip here. It's 50,000 pesos. Do you think you will buy this for 50,000 pesos? Anyone would buy this for 50,000? Because if you would, I will sell this to you after the service. Anyone would buy this for 50,000 pesos? This used up pen? No one. Right? What if I come to you and tell you, bro, would you buy this mansion right here? I want to sell this mansion to you. Bro, how much? 50,000 pesos. Ano gagawin mo? Sir, wala akong 50,000 ngayon. Wait lang 10 minutes, babalikan kita, bibilin ko yan. So the question of, is something expensive or not, depends on what it is. So my question for us is this one. Is the kingdom of God worth it? Is the kingdom of God worth it? As you understand, it weighs far more than what you are holding on to right now. Are you willing to let go of certain things in your life? In fact, everything for the sake of knowing Christ. I leave that to you as a challenge. I'm not here to tell you what to do. But I hope and pray you will listen to the Holy Spirit. You ask God, Lord, what are the things in my life that I have to give up in order to gain you?
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.